This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
All right, we open the show breaking down the Giants, and the Giants broke down themselves yesterday. Now we turn our attention to the Jets. And, yeah, the Giants are bad, and the Jets might have said, hold my beer. I mean, Rick, I don't even know what to say. I mean, we sit here and we say Sam Darnold is put in a difficult position, and he is. But he was horrible yesterday. And I thought that the play that really changed any fortune of at least competing in this game was the end of the first half, down 17-7, and that interception in the end zone.
Yep.
Yeah, but before I could even get comfortable, it was 7-0. I mean, before I could even get comfortable, there was a pick six.
Right. Well, that was him. Yeah. He was terrible yesterday.
Yeah, he was bad. I mean, no question about it. And if this, you know, God forbid this Jets team loses on Thursday, Adam Gase is going to get fired. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, well, the report was out there through ESPN's Chris Mortensen yesterday that Jets brass is monitoring the head coaching situation closely. We know what that means. You know, after Chris Johnson comes out and gives Adam Gase the vote of confidence after their week one debacle, we knew that it wasn't going to be long before we started hearing grumblings of when they were going to fire Adam Gase if the Jets didn't get a win. And now we're here, 2 weeks later. I mean, we knew this was coming, guys. It's not like this is something that wasn't expected. The Jets looked awful yesterday. Sam Darnold, I don't know how this is even possible, looked worse than he did the first 2 weeks.
Oh, he looked – this was the – yesterday was the worst performance of the year from Sam Darnold. He was brutal yesterday.
He was awful, Dave. He was awful. I mean, the pick six, the first one, it was just – it just speaks to the predictability of Adam Gase's offense. But, I mean, if you're Sam, you gotta know you can't throw that ball. Like, you can't throw that ball. Like, Xavier Rhodes is just sitting there looking at you. You're staring down Lawrence Cager, who, by the way, didn't do a great job of stemming the route and try to at least threaten the corner that he was going to take the ball upfield.
Like, who was Xavier Lawrence Cager threatening?
Xavier Rhodes just sitting on the sticks, just sitting there.
Canty.
I'm going to wait for you to throw me the ball.
Let's be honest, Canty. Who's Lawrence Cager threatening? Come on. Let's be serious.
But Rick, here's the thing. You're right. He's not threatening anybody, but you don't make the cornerback backpedal even a little bit. Not just even a little bit. Like, Sam can't throw that ball. That's inexcusable. But, I mean, come on, man. There are certain things that you can do to help your quarterback just a little bit. Now, Sam should have graduated past the point where he's throwing that football. There's no way he should have let that ball leave his hands. But he throws a pick six, puts his team in a hole before things even got started. Now, they did respond and go on a 14-play, 88-yard
drive
where Sam was 6-for-8, and he had that nice touchdown throw to Braxton Berrios. That was a good response. It was a beautiful play. Like, that's what you wanted to see. Okay, he made a mistake early on in the game, but at least the kid bounced back. You can make it a competitive game. But to your point, Dave, the interception that he threw in the end zone, where he was once again targeting Lawrence Cager, that's another football that Sam just can't throw. We should be past the point where he's routinely making these types of mistakes. But we're not. Now, that's in part on him, but that's also on the organization and on the coaching staff, and you got to look at Adam Gase. Because that's why Adam Gase was brought here, to bring out the best in Sam Darnold. Yet all we see is Sam Darnold continuing to get worse.
I don't even know at this point who you even blame. I mean, and again, this is going to sound like an excuse. This is more reason to me. I mean, you lose Mekhi Becton, so you got no left tackle. You got no. I mean, the second you bring in his replacement, he takes a holding penalty. I mean, he gets beat on the safety. I mean, you got a new right. Your right tackle's out. You got, I mean, Braxton Berrios is your number one option. My favorite play of the game outside of McDougal doing the Olay on fourth and goal with Jonathan Taylor. I love that.
Oh, God.
You know, my favorite play was, and I was ready to put a hole in my TV, was when the Jets are down 24-7. Lawrence Cager makes, I think it was a 16-yard reception, and then he proceeds to flex that. You know, come on, man. You're down 24-7.
The first down thing, yeah.
What are we doing?
Honestly, I don't understand it. If I see another Jets or Giants player do that, I'm going to throw up, Rick. Because Damian Ratley did the same thing in the Giants game. I'm like, you're down 36-9. What are you doing? Makes no sense. God.
No, it's amazing.
Makes
to me.
No sense.
It's amazing. Honestly, and you said it on the rejoin. I give Ray Santiago credit. That was a great rejoin. It's taxing. It legitimately is a chore.
It's exhausting,
to watch
isn't it?
Play.
I mean, watching the Giants, for you, I imagine watching the Jets, it's painful. Like, you watch them because you love them. You watch them because it's what you do. You're a fan of this team, but you don't enjoy it. Like, not once yesterday was I like, oh, this is fun, this is great, this is enjoyable. It is out of tradition, and it is out of love for the team that you watch them. Because watching these games, Rick, are absolutely terrible.
I don't know if, Dave, terrible may be you underselling it with how bad it is. In all honesty, I mean, it was from start to finish. I mean, you get things going with the pick six, and then, I mean, the fact that it's the game is so out of hand, and there's not even a thought that the Jets will ever get back into it. They pull Phillip Rivers and put in Jacoby. I mean, it's
for a
quarter.
They bring
in a backup quarterback. Yeah. I mean, you don't get any pressure on the quarterback. Your secondary.
Do you know
is
how
not
many? I saw this. This to me was the stat of the day. How many times they sacked / hit the Colts quarterbacks yesterday? Zero sacks, one hit of the Colts quarterbacks yesterday. One time they got to him to hit him.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers won't play an easier game this whole season.
No, even his career,
he will not play an easier game this whole season.
There was one time, Rico, I think they had the ball at around midfield. It was a 3rd and 9 in the third quarter. And Phillip Rivers literally sat back in the pocket, nobody within 5 yards of him, for 4 seconds of game clock, which is a lifetime in the NFL. Like it's not even – it wasn't even competitive. It's like he was throwing 7-on-7 in practice, Rick. Like, that's how wide open he was. He completes a pass to T.Y. Hilton. Like, it's unbelievable.
I mean, Chris, that's what it feels like it is. I mean, it's explosive play after explosive play. I mean, how many plays did they have yesterday, 20-plus yards?
Yeah.
Whenever they wanted it.
What, they have 5, I think?
Yeah, I mean, I got Mo Alie-Cox running around free. I mean, it's a nightmare. And here's my favorite. Here's, again, a couple stats that stand out. You bring up the sacks and hits. The fact that since the start of last season, 10 of the 12 Jets losses have been by double digits. That bothers me first and foremost. And then we spent all last season, talking about how actually one of the positives of last season was when they had the first 15 scripted, the Jets seem offensively to have some semblance of an idea what they were doing, were successful in those. And then once teams made adjustments, the Jets had no answer. Speaking of having no answer, I mean, that game, as bad as it was, it's 17-7 at the end of the first half. The Jets actually moved like they were in third. Manageable, they actually moved the ball well in the first half.
Yes.
For them, for the Jets.
Yes.
Colts, statistically, the best defense in National Football League for a reason. Why? Because we're going to go into the half, make some adjustments. Do you know that in the second half of that game yesterday, the Jets had 72 yards, 40 rushing yards, and 32 passing yards in the second half?
They had 70 yards of offense in the second half, in a throwaway half. In a half that was a route that became, a 30-point game. They had 70 yards of offense?
72 net yards, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they had.
Rich Cimini just tweeted, the Jets are minus 57 point differential through 3 games right now.
Yeah.
It's worse than that, though. They got the 2 touchdowns in garbage time of those first 2 games.
They could easily be minus 70. Easily.
Easily. If they lose on Thursday, Adam Gase is going to get fired. I'm telling you right now.
Doesn't he deserve to be fired, though? The way that this team has looked throughout the course of this season? Like, doesn't he deserve to be fired?
They look ill.
Like, you can't even make the case that Adam Gase should keep his job. How can you make that? Like, you can't even make that argument. Like, he deserves to be fired. This team looks bad. Again, it's non-competitive. I mean, Dave, you look at it, the Colts defense scored more than both New York football teams combined.
Oh, the Colts defense?
They scored the same thing. They scored 16 points yesterday.
They had 2 pick-sixes and a safety.
And if you actually count the points that they didn't allow the Jets to score with that interception in the end zone, you could put at least 3 more. I mean, you could make it 19 if you wanted to.
Yeah, you could.
And again, the Colts are not great.
But you know what? That's gonna be par for the course this season with both New York football teams. What we saw yesterday in that Jets game when Jacoby Brissett came in and played in the fourth quarter, that's what we're gonna see. A lot of backup quarterbacks playing in the second half because these games are routes.
Or you can start your backup quarterback and still put up 30 plus points if you'd like.
Yeah, he could throw for 343 yards.
Direction you want to go in.
Yeah.
Choose your own adventure.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Maybe that's when we'll see Tua when they play the Jets.
Oh, God. That's his debut. Omar in East Brunswick. Omar, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Oh, okay.
How do you think we're doing? How do you honestly think we're doing?
I'm sorry. That was a stupid question. I'm doing terrible. I'm doing absolutely terrible. I just watched – I mean, we all just experienced another murder for the Jets. I mean – you say that in halftime it was a game, but internally for me, I thought it was over. As soon as Sam threw that pick six, I was like, that's it. And then we saw that nice touchdown, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs because it looks like we actually did something right. And then little do we know, we messed it up the rest of the way. I mean, it's absolutely a joke that every single week this team looks like it has no idea what it's doing. They don't look like they have any fire. They don't look like anything. Not a professional sport team. I honestly don't understand. This team drives me insane. They make no adjustments. They don't do anything. They ran the ball to the left side probably two times. After all week, you hear run the ball left, run the ball left. I don't even remember them running the ball at all to the left side. It was all right, right, right. And then Sam just can't make these mistakes because he's already under a lot of scrutiny. And it's just a whole big mess. And the coach is a big bozo who doesn't know what he's doing either.
He needs to go too. Time out. This is why I agree with you. And I feel the same way you feel.
I love you, Rick.
I love you too, man. My biggest concern, and I've said this a couple different times, is when you drafted Sam out of USC, right? Hadn't played, hadn't had a lot of experience at the position. He was a linebacker in high school, right? But showed all this promise. And you saw that on the first touchdown, what an athlete he is. I mean, that's what he's capable of doing. Disgusting. You see flashes like that. But, Canty, you know I said this, is don't let this kid turn into Jameis Winston because he tries to do too much. He had the problem at USC, and when this kid, I mean, he tries to compete, and he tries to do too much, and he makes bad decisions, and now because the team stinks, it all falls back on him. And he becomes the whipping boy because it doesn't look like he's taking that next step. They were going to ruin this kid, and they're ruining him. Right?
Yeah, you said it the Friday after they drafted him.
Rick, you said it from the beginning, Rick, that they were going to ruin him. And you were absolutely right. You said if the team doesn't do what it needs to do, and it all started by not firing Bowles and bringing somebody in. Now this whole clown show is down burning to the ground, and I'm sick and tired. And I can't even imagine fans like Ira or something. They must be disgusted right now.
Ira's defeated. Thanks for the call, Omar. I mean, it's the first time Ira called us on Friday, and he's beaten. The Jets have beaten the fandom out of him.
Can I just read quickly one of the best tweets I've ever received?
Yes.
This is from Me Do This For You. The reason why they call Adam Gase the quarterback whisperer is because he tried to tell Peyton what to do, and Peyton told him to shut the bleep up, so Gase started whispering.
Stop it. I don't hear Gettleman's laugh anymore. Can we strike that from the record, please?
I don't know how this gets fixed, though. I mean, that really is the unfortunate part.
The first step is firing the head coach. That happens. That's the first step. First step, fire the head coach, hold somebody accountable. Maybe under interim head coach, you start to see a little more fire, a little more effort. Because that was the one thing that was probably the biggest indictment on the head coach yesterday, Rico. Like, after the first half of that game, I just saw a lot of quit out there on the Jets, on both sides of the ball. There was a lot of quit. Like, you could tell that they didn't feel like they had a chance to be competitive in that game because their head coach can't give them any answers. Their head coach can't come up with a path to victory. Week in, week out, when that happens, man, that just beats a football team down to the point where you see players look like they're apathetic. That's what it felt like in the second half of that Colts game. In the first half, we're going to go out here and fight. Close. We're going to try to put it in hyperdrive. Second half, they shut it down, man. You could tell, Rick, there was no fight at all.
They had nothing in the second
half. Well, let me pretend. I'm not even surprised. That's the brutal part. I mean, I was surprised to see the Giants lay down yesterday because they were competitive in the first two games. Like, I'm not surprised to see that. I mean, the Jets have done it for the first, all 3 weeks. They've laid down.
You know what the amazing thing is? You could almost argue that yesterday was the best Jets performance of the season.
For the first half of the game.
At least they showed you something. They had a drive when the game was still within reach. They tied it at 7. Right?
It was the first quarter. Oh, my gosh.
You know what? I honestly think what it is that when I listen to Adam Gase after the game, and he's like, well, in practice, I mean, just, you know, the offense runs fine. We're not making a mistake. Well, it's because your defense stinks. If you're putting your bad offense against your bad defense, of course it's going to look okay. When you actually play against an NFL defense and an NFL offense, you start to see where the deficiencies are. Both sides of the ball are brutal.
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 And now Beckton's
I'm with Dave, though. That game completely changes if you're able to get points on that drive in the second quarter rather than Sam
going to the half with a modicum of like, okay, we're competitive. We're in the game. We're within, you know, we have a chance. That was first down, I think, also.
Yeah, it was. Dave, I mean, you could tell that drive they were building some confidence, right? They had the pick wheel route to Berrios. They called, you know, they threw a flag, but it wasn't OPI because it was within a yard of the line of scrimmage. So you felt like they were gaining some momentum and they were gaining some confidence, and that just all went out the window when Sam threw that ball in the end zone. Like, those are mistakes that your quarterback can't make. So while I do feel bad for Sam because the organization has done him no favors, like, he holds some blame in this mess that is the New York Jets.
And I've been very defending of Sam Darnold, but yesterday was a bad day for him because they actually did move the football, and he cost them a lot of points and early on, and he gave that game away. Now, I don't know that they would have won if he had played, you know, really well, but it wouldn't have looked like that. He was bad yesterday. That was the worst game I've seen for him in a long time, Rick.
No, it wasn't good. But even at that point, I mean, you guys are correct. I mean, that was the biggest play of the game. I mean, not getting points on first and goal, that's huge. I don't disagree. But you go into the half where, I mean, Indy misses a field goal. You're only down 10 points. And then you come out in the second half and look like that? They did nothing in the second half. He had 72 yards in the second half, Dave.
And did they make one adjustment? Like, was there one thing you looked at in the second half? You're like, okay, well, at least that was fixed to make us look better. You looked worse.
But yeah, let's be honest, Dave. Though, if your coach, let's be honest, though, Dave. If Adam Gase is drawing up adjustments at halftime, if you're a player on that Jets offense, do you think any of that's going to work?
Probably not.
Exactly. So, I mean, we can talk about halftime adjustments all we want. But if your team doesn't have any confidence that you're going to go out there and be productive, whether it's offense, defense, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Greg Williams can draw up the most elaborate defensive schemes he wants. But if your offense can't score any points, guess what? No matter how hard your defense plays, you're probably not going to win any games.
I'm going to need Bradley McDougal to keep his mouth shut for the rest of the season, too.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't whiff like that on fourth and goal in the hole unblocked. Unblocked.
That was the nail in the coffin. That touchdown was the nail in the coffin.
But here's the thing, Rick. The defensive line actually got some push on that play.
Yes.
Like, they got some penetration on that play. Like, he had a chance to stop him. All you got to do is thud him up and wait for the cavalry to arrive. He doesn't get into the end zone. You're just going to whiff. You're gonna dive out there and hope you trip him. Come on, man. Come on, man. After you criticizing the coach talking about our practices don't have enough effort, we don't have enough urgency, and you go out there and do that?
But
yeah,
see, Dave,
Bradley McDougal needs to keep his mouth shut for the rest of the season.
Yeah, he's done. He's dead to me. But this is exactly why coaching in the NFL of all the major sports is the most important. Because if you don't believe in what the coaching staff is selling you, and you don't feel like you go into a game with the opportunity to win, the nature of football is you're going to see efforts like this. Because, I mean, you have to make a decision to go. Like, football players have to make a decision because of what they're putting on the line to go out there and play this game.
Oh, yeah, you're in harm's way every single play.
Every single play.
Yeah,
I was saying it to my wife. How crazy is it? Any sport where there's a there's a golf cart on duty just to take you off the field in case of an injury?
I didn't think about it like that, but that's true.
On call.
Yeah.
Like, at some point during this game, someone's going to be so hurt that we're going to have to cart them off, so just be ready.
I can't even be mad for Mekhi Becton tapping out yesterday. Can't even be mad.
You just hope
that was it. Once he went down and they put McDermott in, it was a wrap.
Now, I will say this. Watching him play football is fun, man. Like, he was out there toying with Justin Houston. It looked like me playing with my brother's kids. that's what it looked like. Like, there was nothing that – like, Mekhi Becton locked him out. Nothing Justin Houston could do. On that touchdown throw that Sam had, nothing Justin Houston could do. It was unbelievable, Dave. I mean, this guy, I don't know how.
One tremendously bright spot, right? You have one bright spot that you look at and say, all right, at least we have that. And even that can't make it through the game. And you don't know if he's going to be available for Thursday or the coming week.
At this point, Dave, the way they're playing, I don't want him to go out there. I just want him to be healthy for whoever your next quarterback and head coach is.
God, week three.
Seriously. I don't need to see anything more from Mekhi Becton. I know he can play. It's the rest of the roster we got to worry about.
We're 3 weeks into the NFL season, and we're here already. All right, Rick, you want to do a frenzy or no?
I would love to do a frenzy. I would love to do it. And, Dave, just by the way, just before we go to break, this is what happens when you hire a coach that hasn't had previous success or a track record of success. Because normally if you had and he wasn't so bad last season, you could take emotion out of it for a second and look at this team and all the injuries and everything else and say to yourself, man, I mean, how are you supposed to win with this kind of talent? But you can't give Adam Gase can't get that benefit of the doubt at this point.
He gets no benefit of any doubt. Nothing. He's bad. He's a terrible head coach, and I don't know how much longer he's
going to be. Especially when
here.
I got to watch Kyle Shanahan do what he did against the Giants.
Right. Showed them up. Showed them up.
He embarrassed them with the backup quarterback. Embarrassed you guys.
Yeah, I saw it. Thank you. I witnessed it. Today on ESPN Daily, through three NFL Sundays, only a handful of teams remain undefeated. The great Bill Barnwell breaks down their success and sizes up tonight's Mahomes-Jackson dream matchup on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast.
It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love it. Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
800-919-3776 at Rothenberg ESPN. No salutations. Hey, how you guys doing? You know we're not doing well. You know we're miserable after watching these two teams. Yesterday, Penske starts us out on Twitter. Would Dan Orlovsky's 0-16 Lions beat this year's Adam Gase-led New York Jets? Rick, what say you?
It'd be a pillow fight. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, this team right now was currently constituted. I mean,
they're
the worst team in the NFL.
They certainly could.
They wouldn't be given points.
No. Did you see what the spread is on Thursday, by the way?
I don't want to.
The Broncos are only 3-point favorites.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Isn't it?
I feel like there's value in the Broncos if they're only laying three.
I mean, listen, the Broncos aren't good, but at least they're functional.
At least the Broncos have looked competitive. The Jets haven't looked competitive.
No. Well, because they haven't been competitive. They've been blown out of three games.
That's my point. So, I mean...
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's a real test on Thursday, though, because I'm telling you right now, guys have seen... That Chris Mortensen report, like, guys know.
That he's on the way out?
That what happens on Thursday will dictate whether or not he stays for the time being. And if you see a team that just doesn't look interested at all on Thursday and gets beat by Denver,
Denver played yesterday late afternoon. Now they have to travel all the way here. They're 0-3. They have a backup quarterback. Their best defensive player is out. Best wide receiver is out. If you get hammered at home by Denver, I mean...
He's going to get fired. I'm telling you, he's going to... If they lose Denver, he's going to get fired.
So you think any loss, you think last-second field goal by McManus, 17-16 final score, Friday, he's out?
Yes.
I think if they didn't play on Thursday, after what happened yesterday, if this was a full week, that he would probably have gotten fired today, I would say.
Well, let's go to Ronald in Newark. Ronald, you are next up. First up, really, on the frenzy.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call. Quick
question. Come on, Ronald. Get right to it.
Will do. Who are the best coaching candidates for the New York Jets?
Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I'm sitting here reading a tweet that actually makes me angry, which doesn't usually happen, and it's not even about me. You didn't see this yet. So I'm here looking at Twitter. Peter Schrager decided it was a good idea just to mock me. Josh Allen over his last 14 games. That's the Buffalo Bills quarterback. Everyone listen. 32 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Oh, my God. He's plus 29.
And what does Kirk Herbstreit say? I mean, he's one of the best in the business. All he does is watch college football.
Right.
Give the Buffalo Bills tons of credit. Organization has done an excellent job putting talented pieces around him. And his offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, deserves a lot of credit for the weekly plan. Brian has ridiculous coaching pedigree and is successful. Going to be a head coach very soon.
I think that's very accurate. Hinkie Haynes wants to know, Chris, will the Giants win 3 or more games this season?
I have a hard time seeing it. 8-ball says doubtful. I don't see them winning more than 3 games. Could they win 3 games? Maybe.
At the upside. We're 3 games in, and you're looking at the upside and saying if things go well for the Giants, they can win 3 games.
Well, who are they beating? I mean, you're talking about them beating somebody in their division. Maybe Washington?
Maybe.
Maybe Philadelphia? I mean, that's it. I mean, Dave, they're not beating Cincinnati. They're not beating Cincinnati.
I told you, Burrow looks terrific. Yeah.
They're not going to beat Cleveland. They're not going to beat Arizona. They're not going to beat Dallas. Who are they beating? They're not going to beat Tampa. So who are they beating?
No, you're right. Washington. And you say Philly? Philly will beat the Giants. Philly's better than the Giants.
Dave, I'm grasping at straws. The person asked me, could they win 3 or more games? I'm saying the upside is 3. At their best, they'll win 3 games. This is not hyperbole. The Giants are a 2-14, 1-15 team.
Oh, my God.
What happens? We haven't even broached this conversation yet. I don't even want to do it, just that, but it's already out there with the whole Trevor Lawrence fiasco. Like, if the Jets have the first overall pick. What if the Jets and the Giants are the two worst teams in the NFL? Trevor Lawrence wins the Heisman. Justin Fields is the runner-up, and the Jets and Giants have the first and second overall picks.
We'll have two new quarterbacks in New York.
And you just trade these guys for pennies on the dollar?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's what happens.
You talk about malpractice. Jim and Somers. Jim, you're on the frenzy.
It pains me to say it as a Giants fan. I love him to death, but if we're going to admit that we're doing this wrong, how many picks do you think is possible if we were to think about trading Saquon? If we have to,
how are you going
to
trade Saquon?
You're not going to trade him. You can't.
How
trade
could
him.
You possibly trade him?
You're not going to get value.
He just had a devastating knee injury. Yeah, let's give two number ones. Listen,
this is the only way it can happen. If you guys do fire Gettleman, he gets a job somewhere else.
Well, he does love the running back.
He'll trade for Saquon.
He does love the running back. All right, we said it earlier. I just want to repeat this so you guys think this is true. Ms. 2-0 says, if the Giants have the first overall pick, do you think they take Trevor Lawrence?
Yes. Yes. Whoever has the first overall pick, if they have any questions about their quarterback, they're going to take Trevor Lawrence.
That's just what's going to happen. Which is amazing. You could take a quarterback the Cardinals set the blueprint for it, right? But you could take a quarterback first overall.
Yeah, but that was the perfect storm, Dave. I mean, you hired a head coach who actually on the record say that if he was a coach in the NFL, he would draft Kyler Murray with the first overall pick. And it turns out they had the first overall pick and he was the head coach.
That's right. That's right.
Listen, I know they lost yesterday. Did you see that move Kyler Murray put on Jeff Okuda on that touchdown run?
He's a different speed, dude.
Oh, my God.
It's like his feet are in fast forward.
Oh, my God.
Uncle Lou wants to know, which New York team wins first?
It better be the Jets on Thursday.
Yeah.
Because if they don't win on Thursday.
The Jets have the closest opportunity by virtue of the schedule. Yeah.
If you can't win Thursday and you're the Jets, I don't know when you do win, because you can't imagine you're going to beat Arizona. You're probably not going to beat the Chargers. You're certainly not going to beat the Bills. God knows you're never going to beat the Chiefs. Then the Patriots come to town. Like, if you don't win Thursday, I don't even know. I guess maybe the Dolphins
in
mid-November?
No, you don't. Not in Miami, no. You don't get a win.
The week
if
after?
If you don't win on Thursday, you don't get a win before the bye week.
Which then brings you to the end of November.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, Chris and Rick, if you don't win Thursday, how do you win a game this year?
I don't know, Dave. I'm looking at it. I don't know.
Because of the Jets, and they'll win some, like, second half of the season, they'll win a couple of meaningless games.
And then we'll say how awful that was, and people will say, no, that's good for the future of the franchise.
You know what it is,
Dave? Daniel Jones with an extra touchdown pass.
The Raiders coming to the Jets in December. They'll win that one.
Explain to me. This drives me crazy. How it was good the Giants beat Washington last year, and how it would be good for the Jets to win games late stages of the season. It's not good.
Does you no good.
It was good for his confidence because, you know, that carries over.
Oh, carried right over. The 6-2 second half carried over, and that huge win against Washington carried over. It's great stuff. Derek in Brooklyn.
You want to know what the crazy part is? And I hate to even go back to this, but I remember having a conversation with Canny when the Jets were picking the head coach, and you had McCarthy and you had Matt Rhule, and it sounded like everyone agreed that they liked Matt Rhule, but the second they told Matt Rhule that, you know, Greg Williams is going to be a defensive coordinator, he said, I'm not interested in that. And then no one Mike McCarthy. And then the second they hired Adam Gase and put him with Greg Williams, I know we had the conversation saying, at what point does Greg Williams become the interim head coach?
Yes, we had that conversation.
Yes. It looks like it's only going to take 4 weeks into season two.
Yep.
It's amazing. It's amazing to me.
I don't even know what to say at this point. Derek in Brooklyn, you're on the frenzy, Derek.
Hey, how you? Hello?
Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, listen, man. It's so pathetic with these New York football teams.
Rapid fire, Derek. Move quickly.
I'd rather watch a fly eat.
All right, Derek, quickly means quick to the question. Right to the question,
Derek.
Quick
to the question, just the question. I think that the problem with the New York teams is the coach. Because, like, when they came, they never threatened anybody. It's like they must have came in and said, who's the starters? Okay, let's go get
it. All right, Derek, we can't continue. I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah.
We're trying to rapid fire here, and he just can't.
It has nothing to do with threatening anybody. It just has to do with holding people accountable, making people do their job. It's upholding a standard. Well, first of all, you got to establish a standard, and then you try to uphold it. It didn't happen with the Jets. We were making a point last year when they started 1-7. They probably need to think about firing the head coach. But no, they had this 6-2 second half, and everybody said, okay, this is what they're going to be moving forward. No, they're not. They're bad. Adam Gase is not a very good head coach. We knew that before he got the job. And now you're burning another season because you're chasing after the potential of what Adam Gase could be as a quarterback whisperer.
Dylan Driscoll wants to know, does the NFC East winner have a record above 500?
I think the Cowboys are a 500 team.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. You can win this division at 500 this year,
though. They'll coast to a playoff spot.
If Dallas goes 500, they will win this division.
Yeah, Dallas is going to win this division regardless, Dave. Who else is going to win it?
No, I mean, the Giants are going to win two or maybe three games. Washington is not going to win a lot. Philadelphia stinks. I mean, I would even argue Dallas could go 7-9 and comfortably win this division.
Dallas is going to win the division. Dallas is going to sleepwalk into the playoffs.
You want to know what my real hope is? Is that the Giants keep Dave Gettleman. The Giants have the second worst record in the NFL, and they turn around and draft Travis Etienne out of Clemson.
Come on, man.
What is the matter with you?
No, Ricky's not wrong. You know why Ricky's not wrong? Because we all said that was a mistake when he drafted Saquon Barkley with the second overall pick. And how many Giants fans did we have calling the station saying that we were idiots?
Forget about them.
Do we look stupid now?
He was defiant. He poked fun at everybody. Oh, he's touched by the hand of God. He wouldn't even pick up the phone. If you called him and offered him a package that we've never seen before, he wouldn't even have picked up the phone. He laughed at that.
Yeah.
Generational talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Touched by the hand of God, touched by Eddie Jackson, and out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think there's a class action lawsuit for that, too.
I don't know what to say. Let's end the frenzy on that note.
What is wrong with you?
There's a lot.
You have a problem, Rico.
He really does.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to remind you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. And 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. We, of course, are the home for the MLB playoffs and the Yankees run for the World Series. Tuesday, 9:29. That's tomorrow. Yankees-Indians Game 1 in Cleveland. Coverage for that one starts immediately following the Michael Kay Show. Wednesday, 9:30, Yankees-Indians Game 2 in Cleveland, coverage immediately following the Michael Kay Show. We're also the home of the NBA Finals. Game 1, this Wednesday, 9:30, Lakers-Heat, 8:30 p.m. tip on 10:50 a.m., and Thursday, Jets-Broncos kicks off right here, 8:20 on 98.7 ESPN. So quite a sports week. Chris, your Yankees, as Rick said earlier, limped to the finish line of the season, but the second season starts tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, with quite the pitching matchup. Gerrit Cole and Justin Bieber.
Yep, and Aaron Judge already trying to set the tone, saying anything else doesn't matter. Whatever happened to get them to this point doesn't matter. It's all about the postseason. It's all about trying to go on a run and get to the World Series. So we'll see what happens. I will tell you this, I don't like the matchup. And Rick said it last week, this is probably the toughest matchup of the three teams that we thought were a possibility. And I get it, the Indians don't score a lot of runs, but they don't allow a lot of runs either. You're talking about them giving up the fewest runs in baseball this year. So this is the classic, you know, good pitching, whether or not it can shut down good hitting, we'll see what happens. But, I mean, this is going to be a tough out.
I can't wait for this, though. Playoff baseball, you kidding me?
Oh, and how about what we have? We have four games tomorrow. We have eight games on Wednesday.
No, I mean, buckle up. And this is going to be, I mean, it was a weird 60 games, but now this is when the good stuff starts. And to Chris's point, I mean, pitching-wise, this is a tough matchup for the Yankees hitters. But as far as the Yankees pitchers going up against this offense.
Yeah, they're very weak offensively, Cleveland.
Yeah, outside of like Jose Ramirez, you got Frankie Lindor, you know, Reyes. I mean, this is not daunting. But we'll just see what this lineup can do against great pitching because they've struggled in the past. It's really what it comes down to. I mean, that's been their biggest deficiency over the last couple of years. That hasn't taken them to that next level. Is when you go up against upper echelon pitching, there's some holes in this lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it, the part that scares me is the guys you're going to rely on. I know it's the second season, and we forget what happened in the past. Well, I mean, you know, baseball, there is something to be said about being locked in at the right time. And there aren't,
I agree with that.
And there aren't many guys in this lineup right now that are locked in at the moment.
No. You trust LeMahieu.
You trust LeMahieu. But, I mean, Voit had a good season. But, I mean, you know, outside of that.
Yeah, no, Stanton's not playing great. Judge not playing great. Torres has not been great. Sanchez has been bad.
Gardner's been good, and now you have a decision to make. I mean, do you put the lefty in against the righty? Do you have him playing left field instead of Frazier? Because he's swinging the bat well. See, baseball is the one sport, like we're talking, you know, the Jets, the 6-2 is going to carry. No, it's not going to carry over. But, I mean, no. There's something to be said. Like, when you're seeing the ball well, that carries over. And right now, there's not too many up and down that lineup. I know by name it's a deep lineup, but as far as results are concerned, I mean, it hasn't been great, and the defense hasn't been great.
No,
so I mean, those are things that need to be cleaned up.
Yeah, I mean, if you lose game one and you're staring at needing to win two in a row on the road against the Cleveland Indians, I mean, game one is huge.
Yeah, but see, that's what pissed me off about the Yankees. I get it; we want everyone healthy, but let's not be ignorant to the fact. You're a much better team at home. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to give yourself the best opportunity to win in advance, like, have some urgency in your game. Try to have these three games at Yankee Stadium where you're clearly, for some reason, a better team.
I mean, I agree with you. It did not matter to them. Rick, they were a couple of runs away from playing Oakland in this series.
No, I know, but that aggravates me. If I was a Yankees fan, that would aggravate me. Like, what do you have to be so cocky about at this point?
We'll see if they can flip the switch, because it all starts tomorrow at 7.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.